Well, our scripture reading is in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. Speaking of Jacob, we read, "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and then sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle of that shank which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle of that shank." I'm going to ask Jeff to come now and share with us, and thank you for being willing to share.
Oh, glad to. And I want to thank Tim for most of the kind words of his introduction. He implied by what he said that we used to get together and make a lot of trouble in local churches. That implication is that we have stopped. That would be a misconception. But now we have our own churches to make trouble in. But the trouble never ceases. When Tim invited me here, it was kind of a good news, bad news situation, you know. That if I'm good, you'll think, what do we need him for? If I'm not so good, boy, does he bring some lousy preachers. You ever notice how sometimes good news and bad news can be the same thing? You think a tax refund is good news, but you've just given the government an interest-free loan all year. That's your money. You should have had that. I got some strange news about 20 years ago when I got a letter from my auto insurance saying that I was getting a senior driver discount. I didn't know how to take that. I mean, how can you get upset about a discount? But there's a simple fact that's good news and bad news. This is not a monarchy. The United States is not a monarchy where the government is imposed on you. You get the government you vote for. Is that good news or bad news? The story of Jacob that Tim just read to you from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to the end of the chapter, it's kind of a good news, bad news situation. Jacob, of course, to be very honest, Jacob's not my favorite person in the Bible. I'm really not terribly fond of him. I would not buy a used camel from Jacob. The guy just did not know how to tell the truth sometimes. Well, most of the time. Well, all of the time. Well, pretty much all the time. And yet, he encounters the God of Israel, who brings a change. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, when we meet with you, you bring change. And sometimes that change is both pleasant and unpleasant at the same time. Thank you for showing us through Jacob that it always results in blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, I love the Old Testament not because I'm deeper, but because the simple truth is, remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection? And he was talking with these guys and they said, he said, why are you so down? And they said, well, don't you know what's been going on? Strange as it may be, he's the only one who did know what was going on. But he said, how slow you are to understand the scriptures. And beginning with Moses, or if I may paraphrase, beginning with Genesis, he told them all about the scriptures regarding himself through Genesis and the Psalms and the prophets. What is the Old Testament about? It's about Jesus. So I'm going to preach about Jesus and about what God has done leading up to this tremendous Christianity, this tremendous Christian life, this tremendous salvation that God wrought, and he finished the work. And isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? He didn't say his life was finished, certainly, but he didn't just say my ministry is finished. He said the plan of God through time to bring salvation to mankind is finished. Now, there was more to come, but the plan was done. Jacob had this experience of wrestling. The scripture says a man, many people depict it as an angel, but he ends up thinking it was God. And this tremendous wrestling match tells us something important. It's that first of all, when you pray, every time you pray, God will respond. Now, is that good news or bad news? Some people are saying, that's good news. Some people say, oh man, I don't know. And the smart ones are scratching their chins, thinking it over. Jesus came in response to the prayers of Jews for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And what happened when he got here? We'll be getting into that in a minute. But sometimes the answer to prayer is something we don't like. But it's God's response. Jacob prayed. He prayed in chapter 32, if you look back at verse 11, deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I'm afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. And this wrestling match was the answer to the prayer. It's how God responded. Isn't that crazy? But Jacob seemed to know that the guy he was wrestling with was no man. Would you ask a man who's wrestling with you to bless you? Jacob knew something else. Think about Jacob's history. He had stolen the blessing that the father gives to the older brother. He'd stolen that. And that's why his brother was mad at him and wanted to kill him. He had and been tricked by his father-in-law Laban. Back and forth. It was a mess. That was a wrestling match. And now he had fled from Laban. He'd reconciled somewhat with Laban, but he was fleeing from him. But Jacob knew this is a guy I can't pull the wool over his eyes. He knew this was a different situation. How much do we want God to get involved? Now, I don't want that to put you off of praying. But let me assure you that when you pray, God will stick his nose in. When the 9/11 attacks happened to America, many reporters asked a lot of leading Christians, why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? The best answer was from Annie Graham Lotz, who said, we in America have been telling God for years to mind his own business, and he did. What are we telling America today? What is America telling God today? He'll respond. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Malachi says, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. When they rebuilt the temple, there was no glory cloud. Read the story. There was no great shining glory cloud as there was in Solomon's day. Well, the Lord you seek is going to come. You've been praying for this. You've been wishing for this. You've been hoping for this for hundreds of years. Well, the Lord you seek is going to suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Sound good? Everything you've been waiting for. Indeed, he is coming, says Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh promises on his own name. You're going to get exactly what you've been praying for. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. You're going to get everything you want. But are you going to want what you get? I've often told my own congregation that the very definition of hell is getting everything you want. When you pray, God will respond to your prayers. And Henry Blackaby puts it very well. Whenever you pray, take what happens next as a result of your prayer. Think about it. But the second thing is that when God responds, he is going to reveal the truth. When God responds, he is going to reveal the truth. Suppose God were to get up in this pulpit and tell the entire congregation the whole truth about you. Who'd be comfortable? I wouldn't. Some time back, a friend asked me, who is the one person in the Bible you would love to speak to, face to face? Now, of course, the throwdown answer is Jesus, right? Wouldn't you love to talk to... Wait a minute. What would he tell me? I mean, he knows. He knows that thing nobody else does. Do I really want to talk? I ended up saying I'd like to talk to Peter. I'd like to meet with a total failure. I feel better about my... And if not him, Jonah, who for the same reason. What is your name? The man said. If you know the story of Jacob, and I've alluded to it, who's the last person that asked him that question? It was his father. His blind father, Isaac. What is your name? And what did Jacob say? I am Esau, your firstborn. And he lied. And now God says, what is your name? And Jacob replies, I am the heel catcher. I am the supplanter. I am the one who pushes other people out of my way so I can get what I want. I am Jacob. What name would you give if God asked you, what is your name? Would you tell him what's on your birth certificate? Or would you tell him the name that's written on your heart? When we confess the truth, salvation is the result. And God changes your name. Back in the days when America had slavery, one of the first things a slave owner would do after acquiring a new slave is give them a name. Because the name is your destiny. And a slave owner is saying, I own you now. I control your destiny. I control who you are. Are you a slave of Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus had a habit of changing names too. Andrew comes and says, Jesus, I'd like you to meet my brother Simon. And Jesus says, no, Peter. What about nice day, Simon? What about how you doing, Simon? Good to know you, Simon. No. You're no Simon. You're Peter. I will change your name. There's a great little chorus by DJ Butler. Yes, everybody was wondering, why does he have the guitar up there? Great little chorus by DJ Butler called, I Will Change Your Name. And every time I have preached from this passage or a passage like it, I just have to sing it because nothing else fits it. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. Thank you. There's a great book called We Would See Jesus, written by Roy Hessian, and one chapter is called Sinai or Calvary. And he says, when we encounter God, we encounter Him at one of two mountains. We can encounter Him at Mount Sinai, where the law was given. And when the law comes to you, you want to defend yourself. I had good reasons for that. There were mitigating circumstances. It's complicated. God, you don't see how complex this was. There's another mountain you can go to, and it's Calvary, where you see the Son of God brutally butchered because of what you had done. And I have only one response. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what happens at Calvary. When you pray, God will respond. When God responds, He'll bring out the truth. A truth we don't like. A truth we're uncomfortable with. And when God responds, there is a change. Not just in your name, but in your destiny. There is a change in who you are. Jacob, when he met with God, had a new walk. And I don't mean that just to be funny. His life changed. And Jacob's blessing was a hip out of joint. Okay, how many of you have some idea what that's like? There he is. Oh, there we go. We got that. Okay. Some of you know. How many of you said, glory to God, my hip is out of joint? I'm sure Jacob didn't. God will respond. And there's a change, and sometimes those changes are unpleasant. Jesus brought change. Jesus stuck His nose in. And what happened to Him? What happened to Him was crucifixion, but what happened to Him was also resurrection. And He rose victorious from the dead. Some of the marks remain, so that you'd know who this was. And Jesus was identified by the marks, by the wounds He had. Jacob is forever remembered. In verse 32, he is forever remembered by the wounds that he had. Were these wounds of defeat or wounds of victory? In the end, it all depends on how you walk. Walk with Jesus. There'll be some limping. Your life won't be what you're comfortable with. But the end is salvation.